right, folks. Well, here we are. I'm doing my second phone interview, so hopefully this is going to go okay. Hi, Donna. Can you hear me? I'm going to have to push you up a lot higher than that in here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, and now I think you sound pretty good, so that's great.
Good.
Yeah. Let me just do... Okay, let me just do that, and maybe that'll make it sound pretty good, hopefully. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program. Joining me to discuss the Acme Screen Room, here is Donna Muchnicki.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, Donna, how are you?
Doing good. Busy getting ready for the spring season here, but doing well.
That's great. So, one of the reasons I reached out to you is because I heard that the Acme Screening Room is going to be starting up the Carpool Cinema again this year.
Yep, we'll be starting on May 8th, this Saturday night, with the Birdcage. So we try to do things a little bit, not your typical drive-ins. A lot of them are mostly family-oriented, but we try to get some of the old, favorite old classics in there, too.
Oh.
So, yeah, that'll be starting this weekend, May 8th, and then we'll be running through the summer, right through the Halloween season, and we'll have some special things set up for Halloween, too.
Wow. So that sounds great. So you're going to have a lot more?
We will have them every Saturday night, except for the holiday weekend. But every Saturday night, I'm going to try some Friday nights to see if we can get more of a family following, too. So we're going to try some more family-type films on a couple Friday nights. So it's really best to keep an eye at the website. Our website is acmescreeningroom.org. So if you go there, you can see, the schedule's up now for May. We'll be doing an event. We're actually partnering with New Hope Celebrate for Pride Weekend. So we'll be having a special screening that they are sponsoring on the 15th. We'll be screening Love, Simon, and we'll have some musical guests with that night, too. And typically we do open the films with a musical guest. So it's kind of nice. We can come tailgate a bit. A lot of people, some people bring little tables and tablecloths and chairs, and they sit out in the back of their car, have a little nosh time while they listen to the music, and then stay through the movie. So it can be just a really nice evening, a nice safe way to still get out. We're still practicing, mask precautions, asking people to wear masks when they leave, their car area or to go buy concessions or something. But other than that, I think it's a really nice way for people to get out now that the weather's getting nice.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great time, and that you're going to have so many people. You're going to have so many shows that you're going to be able to do over the coming season. And it's great that you were in the position to be able to plan ahead, which it's been very very challenging to plan events in advance while we're trying to wait to, make sure that everything's safe, but also try to figure out where we're going to be in a few months from now, which is, difficult in the nonprofit world.
it's definitely been an interesting year trying to, pivot and find ways to keep the screening room going, but, it's actually given us a chance to try some new things. Typically... we're just a screening room where we show first-run indie films every, Friday through Sunday. But then then we have some special events where we have the filmmakers come. We do special dinners afterwards with the filmmakers. But all of that went away last March. So, it kind of made us stop and, think about the things that we've always said we wanted to try but really never had the chance to. So the outdoor movies were something people always were coming to me asking, why can't we do something outdoors? So we did start that up last summer, and we had a great time last summer. We went from June through October, had some great Rocky Horror screenings in October. So it was really a nice season last year. So, we're trying to build it out with a few more special events this year. We're going to have a couple comedy shows thrown in there, too. But, you know, beyond the carpool, then last winter we, you know, also started virtual films. So you can also go to our website, and you can watch films from the comfort of your home now, too. So you can, you know, we have a lot of first-run indie films that didn't get to get shown in the movie theaters that are being released, you know, virtually on you know, on the Internet. And so if you screen them through us, it is a big help for us. We receive 50% of all those ticket sales. So by watching those movies at home for us, you're still supporting the Acme, which really has helped get us through this year. And then we also started a film club. So where we, last winter, we had, you know, different themes, movies, and different presenters, where you'd watch movies on your own time, and then we'd come together and have discussion groups. So on all of these things, we're going to keep going now. So that's kind of the beauty of all this, that it was a very challenging year, and yet we kind of turned it into an opportunity to try the things we've always wanted to do, and we've gotten, you know, good response on all of them. So it's really helped to actually grow the Acme in a strange way. going through this has helped us to grow, you know, and have more offerings than we typically do. So we are hoping we will have the indoor screening room open by September is kind of our goal, although we'll play it by year as things keep changing every day and every week, and if we can do it sooner, we will do it sooner. But we're just trying to keep everybody safe still.
Well, that's great, and it's great that there's a way for families to get out, or just individuals to get out and enjoy something together in a group while still being safe.
Yeah, it's still not a lot to do at night, so, you know, everything is slowly creep open, but, you know, it is, it's just a nice night to come out with friends or just come out with the family and hang out, be outside, and, you know, we've got Thai Tita, we're right behind Thai Tita, so there's great Thai food available, you know, right by the carpool. We have other concessions, you know, your regular snacks and things are for sale there also, so you can either pack your own picnic basket and come out, or you can grab something there. We've got Oh Wow Cow is almost across the street, Liberty Pizza, Bell's Tavern, so there's plenty of takeout food all within a block of the drive-in. So it's really kind of convenient, too, that you can come, you know, make a nice little evening of it.
Well, and that's great, too. Lambertville is known as being a really great food town. It's a little food city here in Hunterdon County, and just a great place to go urban hiking, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so for people who are not as familiar, once again, can you tell us where the Carpool Cinema takes place and the hour? I know that it changes days of the week sometimes, so this weekend it starts on Saturday night, I think.
Yeah, this week is on Saturday, and then next weekend again will be Saturday night, and then we'll have, just to check the schedule, we'll have one or two Fridays per month. That'll just vary on the availability of films. So on the 21st, we'll be showing a children's film, Abominable, so we're hoping to have a nice turnout for that family night, and we'll have a cartoon pre-show before that one. Just a great way. I would just plan on Saturday nights. And then if your family, look for the Fridays. But those are, you know, like I said, those will be a little more sporadic with those. But otherwise, every Saturday night we'll have a film. We're located not at the Acme Screening Room itself. We're on North Union at 204 North Union Street, right behind, it's the Spokeworks building where Did Yoga is and Thai Tita. It's right behind there. There's a nice big lot that we have back there. There's on-site bathrooms. It's really, you know, set up real nice and safe for us. But it's right there on North Union Street and right by all those other restaurants that I mentioned.
All right. So it's great. It's just right there at the end of North Union Street and very easy to access for people traveling to Lambertville.
Yes. North Union, right behind Thai Tita restaurant. So that's one of the easiest ways. If you look up Did Yoga, any of those little businesses along there, it's right behind that building there.
Fantastic. And since parking is part of it, you know, parking is usually half the battle in Lambertville and its sister city, New Hope there. So that parking is actually part of the event is Sounds like
you pay per. Well, you pay per car, so right. You know that's nice too. You can fill the car with your whole family for one price. So the prices are between $25 and $40, depending on the license fee for the film. So yeah, it's kind of reasonable. You can come out with friends, family, and it's you know, you're only paying per car also, which is nice.
That is so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when Abominable is on, you can bring your kid and your kid's friend, and everybody can enjoy.
Yeah, and sit on top of the car, sit on the roof of the car, whatever everybody would like. So, and like I said, some people come a little bit early and get a good parking spot, and then they go walk around a little bit, you know, so and go pick up their food, or go have a cocktail somewhere down the street and come back. So, people are welcome to come a little bit early and take advantage of that parking spot, too.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so
or to stay afterwards. You can actually stay a little afterwards, too. So, so it is great that, you know, it's parking's included and it's, you know, just per car.
That's true. That is lovely. You can take advantage of that and enjoy the city of Lambertville. So, of course, the Acme Screen Room has been basically the way we can view movies without leaving the county for a number of years now. Tell us a little bit of the background of the Acme Screening Room, and you are a nonprofit, right?
Yes, we're a nonprofit. We were started back in 2008, so we've been around for quite a while. Used to be part of the library system. It was started as programming for the public library, but back in 2018, we applied for, we were growing so much. We had a, you know, successful capital campaign where we have, you know, state-of-the-art screen and sound system and all of that now in our screening room. So, I'm getting lost here. Slipped up there for 2 seconds. the screening room, we have the movies Friday through Sunday, typically, and as we split off and grew so much that it became our own nonprofit. We applied for our own nonprofit status. Now the Acme Screening Room is a standalone independent movie theater. Since then, we've only been growing. We did that capital campaign about 4 years ago now, and that was successful. And, you know, we were having some of our most successful months right before this pandemic. So it was kind of crazy that we were getting to a wonderful point in the success of the Acme, and then had this, you know, this unfortunate occurrence, you know, that's hit lots of businesses. But luckily, you know, we've gotten a lot of support from the community, from the county, from New Jersey State Council of the Arts. So there has been, you know, some great arts funding that's been available, and we're really thankful because, like, the Hunterdon Cultural and Heritage Commission, they've been really, you know, one of the people, Janssen Pharmaceutical. We've had many companies that have really, you know, stepped up and helped us this past year, and it's been one of the reasons why we've been able to continue to do what we do and to even help it to grow. So we went from the screening room now to now having all these other alternative programming also beyond the screening room. So it's really kind of cool how much we've grown in that 12 years.
That is amazing. So do you still solicit donations? Do you need donations? Do you need volunteers at all?
We are always soliciting donations. There is, if you go to our website again at acmescreeningroom.org, there is a donation button. Every donation helps. I mean, we've kept all of our employees on payroll all year, so every little bit helps to keep all of us going and keep all the employees on staff. You know, that's been very important. And like I said, we've had a lot of generous donors, and you know, any kind of help, we appreciate every little bit. It does help keep us going, and we are always looking for volunteers also, people to volunteer. If you want to come out and watch the movies for free at the carpool, you can come to, you know, volunteer for the night and just help, you know, sell concessions, help them put the screen up, pack, you know, unload, pack up. You can do little things like that at the beginning and end of the movie. You can stay and hang out for the night. So we even encourage that for high school students if they'd like to get some volunteer experience. That we do welcome high school students to come out and learn a little bit about the film world. And but yeah, we're always looking for board members also. So if anyone local is looking to get involved in the world of cinema, we do welcome anyone to reach out also to us, and you can reach us, you know, straight through the website.
All right. Well, that sounds great. So once again, that website is?
AcmeScreeningRoom.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Donna.
And I hope I see you at the drive-in this summer.
I want to get there. I was thinking about it all last summer. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. I got to try that. So it looks like there's some really good shows coming up. And, of course, we've also been checking the website. I want to get the Oscar shorts. I don't know if they're still up there, but we're going to definitely be watching those sometime soon. So.
And the French ones are coming out soon, too. So you can keep a watch for that. They're just releasing the French versions of what, you know, that were submitted also. So the French shorts are going to be coming out in the next week or so virtually also. So they could be another interesting group of virtual films to watch.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much for being on the program tonight, Donna.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, you too. And once again,
all right, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right. And I believe, I should have probably turned that down. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for the Acme Screen Room. Once again, wonderful thing in our community here in Herndon County. And we're going to be back in a minute or two with our second guests of the night, Michael Newman and Laura Altman, to join us here live in the studio. It's so exciting. It's our first live guest ever. And while we're getting that ready, let's listen to some messages, shall we?
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I help...
When it matters most... Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Random Walk Hunterdon tonight here on... Here at the lovely Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our podcast studios. And I am very, very honored to welcome our first live in-studio guests this evening. And hopefully the camera is seeing you guys. just stare right over at that one, and then it'll pick you up. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program, among many other things, the creators of the Raritan River Music Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Newman and Laura Altman.
Hi.
Yay. Hi. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us. We missed you all these years from having completed your retirement from WDVR, and we're so glad you're back on the air with new adventures.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I'm glad it's been 6 years since I've actually had the pleasure of interviewing you. Of course,
I can't believe it's like that long.
I know.
I wish we had the shrimp, the boiled shrimp.
I know. I want to get the shrimp ready, and I think I might be out of shrimp, and it's we'll definitely.
You're probably not allowed to now in this pandemic.
Yeah. We could probably put like a little shrimp tray outside or something.
Oh yeah.
Don't worry, the shrimp tray will return in the future.
Okay.
And just like the swallows return to Capistrano.
That's right.
And the Raritan River Music Festival has actually returned this year.
Yes, please. We did have it last year virtually, so we had to figure out how to broadcast over the internet last year, which was really hard.
Especially because
really hard.
The world came to a stop right around the middle of March. Mm-hmm. And the Raritan River Music Festival is the Saturdays in May. So we had very little time to pivot 180 degrees, learn all about audio engineering, learn all about video production, streaming, everything else. And all of the musicians that we thought were going to come play concerts for us no longer could. We actually thought that, we'll bring them up to the theater in Blairstown Roy Hall.
And that was because the guy who owns it had set it up for live streaming. But then it quickly became apparent that we couldn't live stream.
And the musicians were no longer together. All of the ensembles
that was the problem.
had broken apart and gone to different parts of the country.
Or they couldn't rehearse together. Like, we had a flute ensemble. Can you imagine?
Yeah. That could actually
quartet. They said, well, we don't really want to sit in the same room blowing at each other for hours to practice.
projectile virus through these tubes. No, they wouldn't rehearse.
So we ended up with four concerts where people basically produced their own video events. The Argus Quartet put stuff together from Michigan, Wisconsin, Brooklyn, Manhattan, the four players. Laura and I were lucky that we're married and we're in the same house, but the other half of our concert was with a Cuban guitarist in Milwaukee. So all of this stuff was really intense.
But this year we decided it was close enough to being safe to do something that we were going to try to produce something in a quasi-outdoor setting. And so finding the right venue was very difficult, but we found a venue, the Blue Army Shrine, which is near Washington.
The address is Asbury, right? The other side along the, just past the Musconetcong River.
And it's a really big, like, outdoor, basically it's a church.
Right.
Outdoors, it's a giant roof with a bunch of seats. It's a really, really massive roof. So it's very sheltered. And there's so many seats that everybody can be quite distant. I don't think we're going to sell it out, put it that way. It's really big. So they made it available to us for four Saturdays, which was...
That's nice.
Yeah,
it
was really, really nice of them to do that because we hadn't dealt with them before. And they kind of have their own thing going up there, and I got the feeling nobody'd ever asked to put on concerts like this. Anyway, so not an outside organization.
So for us to be able to bring in these chamber music concerts that we usually do in like the Prowlsville Mill in Stockton that seats 150 people, or Stanton Reformed Church that seats 190 people. You know, these other small historic venues, for us to now go to a 1,500 seat place, and was really a change. So we have the folks from the Animal Farm I don't know if you know them, a recording studio and production studio in Quakertown, between Croton and Quakertown in Hunterdon County. And the guy there took an old barn and turned it into this amazing recording studio. And he brings in rock bands from all over the country. They do all sorts of things. So he'll be doing the live streaming for us, and he'll also be doing the sound reinforcement. So people in the shrine, the 1500 seats, no matter where they are, will be able to hear the music beautifully.
But we added a feature that I'm sure you're familiar with, the vagaries of, like, online production now.
yeah, there's a lot going on with that. It's and it changes, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can anybody do? But since we aren't sure if all of our patrons are okay with coming to something in person, which they might not be, we're offering a version of it on the internet, so that everybody, whether they, and so maybe one day the weather will be horrible too.
That's true.
And if you don't want to try to brave the elements and come to see it in person, you could watch it on the internet. So we'll have both options. So again, it'll be difficult. But we have this, now that we have this production company working with us, I think at least their expertise will improve the chances that it'll all work.
Yeah. And we're doing an early time. Instead of the regular evening concerts, they're at 4 p.m. And we did that because since it is basically an outdoor venue, we wanted to give people enough chance to see their way around. I mean, everything is fully accessible, wheelchair ramps, down to the restrooms, up into the venue.
Yeah, big lighted parking area.
Yeah, 200 seat parking area, right by, I mean, 200 car parking area.
Nice.
Yeah. And also then for people who are not able to drive at night, now is a great opportunity. So we'll do the concerts without intermissions, about an hour and 15 minutes long. And instead of the wonderful receptions that everybody always looks forward to, where you're eating all the food and drinking all the coffee and talking and yelling and screaming right in each other's faces, we're doing receptions to go. And
all
so
right.
People will get fresh baked cookies and a bottle of water, and I'll get out of here.
Well,
go
again,
home and come back next week.
It'll be prepackaged, so you can pick up a package of cookies and your bottle of water. If you want to stand around and eat it, you can.
Six feet away.
But if you want to leave with something, you can still have sort of a reception, so...
Awesome. All right. So, well, and you know, it's interesting. You found an outdoor church where you use a lot of churches normally for the festival, and so you found one space that is kind of true to what the festival truly is.
And because we've always been afraid of outdoor venues because we don't want to get rained out, the fact that this has no walls at all, just columns. A few columns. It really is outdoors, but it's got this massive cover, so it'll work out great.
Yeah, and certainly one of the architectural marvels of this area. So be
absolutely.
It's fascinating. It's pretty interesting. Well, they have a pretty sizable bronze statue on top of it. I think that's why it's so big, because the statue is really heavy, and it's. The roof is like a stand for this gigantic statue.
Oh my!
That's quite a thing, you know. It's quite a thing. But you know, you could live near there and not be totally aware of where it is. But it's a beautiful location. It's really beautiful. It's up on a hill. It's very very park like.
Yeah, the views over the Hunterdon Hills, looking out toward the east, are really beautiful.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it sounds like, not to be outdone by the space, but you've got some really good music planned for this year.
Yes. Well, a number of these people we've had before. Actually, the first group is the only one that's brand new to the Raritan River Music Festival. And we decided that we were mostly going to try to go for very small groups that were either married or lived together, so they could be practicing for the last year and not worry about that. So this first group, it's called Poor Will Lane Duo.
Okay.
And it's a violin and cello team. And they used to be based in Wisconsin, and then they were based in Nebraska, and then they were based in Connecticut. It depends on what group they're working with and where their artists in residence. But now they're living in, I believe it's Jersey City.
Wow.
So they've got a pretty easy commute out to west central New Jersey. And they'll be playing a lot of new music, some violin solo, some cello solo, and then a whole bunch of duets together. And that's going to be this Saturday, May 8th at 4 p.m.
All right, 4 p.m. at the Blue Army Shrine. Mm-hmm. Terrific. And you're doing four shows this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the following Saturday will be May 15th.
Yeah, that's somebody that we have had before in an ensemble. This is Bridget Kibbe, who plays the harp. But she is mm-hmm. just going to play solo because then she doesn't have to rehearse. You know, right? And then,
she just has to practice.
Yeah, but she's going to be playing some music that will sound kind of like guitar music, I'm going to say. Spanish romantic classics and some Colombian music. But, you know, there's actually a guy who plays from Colombia who's like a jazz harp guy. I shouldn't use that term jazz because it isn't exactly that. But it's probably influenced by jazz. But in the Andes, there's a style of harp that's incredibly distinctive that, you know, the indigenous people that live there made a lot of their own instruments based on Spanish instruments. Like, there's all these guitar things, like one made with an armadillo shell called charanga. And there's a kind of harp. It's a pretty boxy thing, but, like, there's a really distinctive way of playing Andean harp. And there's this composer she's worked with who I've heard of before who does, I'm going to say, you know, it's a combination of this Andean style music and then more jazz influenced stuff. So,
but she's also doing a toccata and fugue by Bach.
Oh, and, interesting.
For harp.
I was watching her rendition of that for National Public Radio's Tiny Desk concert mm-hmm. that had like 3 million views or something.
Oh my.
It's really impressive. So she's bringing it out to New Jersey with her harp. And we'll look forward to that.
Wow, that does sound really cool.
And that one is the 15th.
That'll be
of
the 15th.
May at 4 o'clock.
All right, that sounds great. Solo harp. I don't know that I've experienced a lot of solo harp.
You probably haven't, because not very many people do that. over the years, there's been a few, but that usually harp plays in the orchestra or in a group.
Yeah,
it doesn't usually play just by itself. So that'll be something new. And then we're having a married couple on May 22nd, Duo Jalal. And Catherine Lockwood and Yusuf Sharonic, they have appeared before more than just one other time because they've been in other ensembles that we've had, not together, but like Yusuf was in a group called Ethos Percussion Ensemble, and we've had them a couple times when he was in it. And then his wife, Catherine, plays the viola. She was in the Lark Quartet that we've had several times.
Right, string quartet.
So they're kind of old friends. And then they formed this, again, kind of unusual ensemble of viola and percussion. So that's a thing that they've created. I mean, they've created that, and they've created music for it and gotten music commissioned for it, and that's not a historically set ensemble. It's their own.
Wow. So just a little something different.
Definitely.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're playing some new music that was composed during the pandemic for them. So it'll be a nice chance to hear some new creativity.
And then we're on the 29th, which is Memorial Day weekend, is our concert, and it's a tribute to Astor Piazzolla, who was an Argentine composer who was born 100 years ago. But his contribution to the world is something called Nuevo Tango, which is kind of a arty version of tango.
Okay.
So, like, tango is not, in its inception, particularly artsy. It's folk music, kind of, or, you know, it was inspired by the lower classes. And Piazzolla studied composition in France, and he ended up kind of melding his classical music composition with this Argentine tradition of this dance tradition, tango, to create something that is it's called classical tango. That sounds sort of stultifying, but he calls it new tango.
Okay,
but it also has a lot of jazz influences as well.
That's true.
He was highly inspired by American jazz.
I would call it, it's like concert tango, and he says that too. He said one time at a concert we saw, he said that his music was not for singing and it's not for dancing. It's just for listening, and anybody who's singing and dancing will be shot. But I think he did like model his pieces after classical forms and things like that. Sometimes he calls everything a tango, but like, you know, one of the pieces we're playing is basically a sonata form, which is a classical, like a 19th century classical form that has a fast movement, a slow movement, a fast movement. So, you know, that was how one of the ways that he melded things. He used the same forms and some of the same terminology, but then called it tangos.
And we'll also do some more traditional tangos too, to give the historic context, some of the original tangos from like the 1890s and the early 1900s, and some things that people recognize. And we're also going to play a piece by another Argentine composer named Daniel Binelli.
This is a living composer.
Uh-huh. And this is celebrating his 75th birthday this year. And he has played on the Raritan River Music Festival. He plays bandoneon, the tango accordion squeeze box thing. But unlike an accordion, which has a keyboard on the side, the bandoneon is only buttons on both sides. And so Laura and I are going to play one of his pieces for two guitars. So it's going to be tango through the, I was going to say centuries. It's more like mostly through one century, through the 20th century.
Yeah.
But that was a really, really big century for the tango.
I guess.
Wow. You know, and one of the cool things that you bring up, you mentioned some of the new pieces that'll be as part of this event, is that classical music isn't something that just happened in the past.
It's true.
That's a living art form.
Yes. And definitely at Raritan River it is, because we've always made it a point to have a certain amount of newer music or less common ensembles, you know, more unusual ensembles like percussion and viola, or even guitar duos is less usual. So this year, they're really, I would say, because of the pandemic, we really have got some unusual offerings. But everybody's playing, with the exception of us, everybody's playing something that's newly commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's a lot of different kinds of music. I would say like the pieces that are new are probably not going to sound that much the same. But you make a good point that, yes, classical music is still a living tradition. There are still people composing and playing new works all the time. So...
Wow. And we've got, you brought some music with you.
Yes.
Ooh, we did. Do you want to hear a tango?
I would like to hear a tango. So
maybe
this is,
even a tango by Astor Piazzolla.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds like a great idea. And this is from your album, Tango Suite, Romance for Two Guitars. Mm-hmm. So let's give a listen. That was very moving.
Yes, it was moving fast.
Moving fast. You'll have to come to the concert on the 29th and see the fingers moving fast in concert. And we'll hope it won't be too cold out.
Well, by then it won't be. Then it'll be too hot.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully it'll be nicely temperate. I'm guessing that that it will be wonderful every Saturday night.
I hope so. Well, Saturday afternoon.
That's true.
Yes. Well, I think for the beginning, Saturday afternoon is an ideal time because it gets cold at night sometimes in the beginning of May. But by the 29th, we'll probably be sweltering.
There's always a very nice breeze there, yes. So it'll be good.
That's true. You're up on that hill, I think, you get nice. So we have some more. We have some more music from you guys that you brought this evening as well, or afternoon. Afternoon, evening. I don't know.
I'm going to say evening. It's almost 6, right? Yeah. It's
6. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Laura, do you want to tell about
we have a couple songs by the Beatles.
We're just going to do one.
I think, let's do She's Leaving Home. I'm going to pick that one.
That's the second track?
Yeah, and this is Lennon McCartney wrote it, but this is arranged by Cuban composer Leo Brower, and we, last year, we did a commissioned work by him on the festival, and this is from a new recording, The Book of Imaginary Beings, that we made of all this music by Leo Brower. It's in 3 formats: download, digital download and streaming, CD, and LP. We made an LP.
Wow.
So this is the Beatles.
Did you want to end it here? Because I think that piece might take us all the way
to the end of the show?
Yeah.
All right. So let's
announce once again what.
All right. Well, once again, Raritan River Music Festival begins this weekend. It's the 32nd one. Yeah, hey, you can. There is a visual. This is great. This is awesome.
That's right.
Visual radio.
So for people who'd like more information about the Raritan River Music Festival, I mean, most people will Google it, but tell us where they can find that information.
They can go online and search Raritan River Music .org.
Very good. And people, of course, there's not only are there single concert tickets, you can also experience this virtually.
Yes.
And there's also, there's probably some subscriptions and a place to make a donation even, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll give the phone number for anybody who really doesn't want to go online. That number is 908-213-1100.
All right. And once again, you are also a nonprofit, so we're also very glad to be supporting the nonprofits in Hardin County.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And again, we're so glad you're back on the air.
And we're glad to be back, and we're glad that you were able to join us. So congratulations on your 32nd season, and we're going to go out with this music from your album, The Book of Imaginary Beings?
Yes.
All right. Well, here we go. Have a great night, everyone, and we hope to see you get out to some of these events this weekend. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You're listening to 100inchamberradio.com. You're listening to 100inchamberradio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs. You're listening to WHCRDB, 100inchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the 100in Medical Center. 100in Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100in Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100in Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.100inhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The White House is downplaying criticism from parents that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sought input from a top teachers' union in developing its school reopening guidelines.
Well, I would say first that's false. Let's take a step back and talk about how the CDC works. The CDC, it's actually longstanding best practice for the CDC to engage with organizations and groups that are going to be impacted by guidance and recommendations issued by the agency.
That's White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. The exact language suggested by the powerful union was used in CDC guidance. Brandon Mitchell, a juror in the Derek Chauvin trial, may have jeopardized a guilty verdict by attending a rally last year and wearing a Get Your Knee Off Our Neck /BLM t-shirt, raising questions about whether he told the truth during jury selection. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Who's really running the country? Joe Biden? The First Lady? Kamala Harris? Maybe Barack Obama? Already, Kamala Harris is the most powerful vice president in history. All this week, Newsmax's Greg Kelly asked the tough questions about Joe Biden and who's really in charge at the White House. Every night this week, Greg Kelly is on Newsmax giving you the news you need to know. So watch Greg Kelly tonight at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern and see his series, Who's Really in Charge? Newsmax TV is America's fourth highest rated cable news network. Everyone is talking about Newsmax. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable system, tell them you want it. Or get Newsmax free on your smart TV. Or tune into Roku, Amazon Fire, Pluto, Zumo, or YouTube. Or just download the free Newsmax TV app on your smartphone and watch us anytime, anywhere. Millions of Americans are watching.